Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice came from heaven, said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I will be well pleased.
Takes a lot of courage to come up here. Good job. That's great. Let's pray again before we start. God, what a wonderful opportunity to go into your word. Lord, as we look into Matthew once again, may we really look at the theme that Matthew is trying to display, Jesus the Messiah. Lord, I thank you so much for your word and how we have this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for this time and I thank you that that we can just be free and do this without the worry of much persecution at all. I pray especially for our brothers and sisters in the world who can't do this and who have to hide. Be with them today and whenever they might do this throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're just joining us today, we've been going through the series on Matthew. And today we get to experience Matthew 3, 13 to 17, of course, the baptism of Jesus. And last week, if you weren't here or you need a refresher, we talked about John the Baptist. He was a man full of charisma, full of boldness, and spoke about a message of repentance. We heard about this conversation with the religious groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and how he called them out to be an example of inner fruitfulness to the nations. This event of John the Baptist started a whole new pattern for the people of that day. This passage, which we'll read again in a moment, this Matthew 3, 13 to 17, is seen in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John show this in different parts of their narrative. And because of that, we have to assume that this is pretty vital to the overall story of the gospel. And if you haven't opened up to that passage, Matthew 3, 13 to 17, I encourage you to do so. It will also be behind me if you prefer that. Now, after an incredible and bold message from John, which we saw last week, one might assume that the coming person, the coming Messiah, might be one who is not a normal person that it seems like Jesus is. He might be someone who comes in with a sword, comes in with fire maybe. John said that this coming Messiah was more powerful than him. Someone who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Sounds powerful, doesn't it? We might expect at the beginning of this baptism here of the Messiah to say something like, then the Messiah came roaring in with a sword on fire or something spectacular like that. But instead, Matthew writes this, Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Nothing spectacular about that, is there? Nothing with a sword on fire or a sword or anything like that. The Son of God, Jesus the Messiah, seems to be a normal person coming in to be baptized. In fact, he was maybe in the lineup of people to get baptized. This was not a prideful beginning. It was a humble one. The last time we saw Jesus, he was just a little toddler, of course. We saw him at the end of Matthew chapter 2. Most likely, he was maybe no older than 3 years old. And now we fast forward, and he's now preparing to go into ministry. And historically, we place this around the time he is 30 years old. This is the first time we see adult Jesus. Watchman Nee, the founder of one of the local church movements in China, said this about baptism. Baptism is faith in action. This is what Jesus is doing, displaying not his conversion, because he is already God, but displaying his faith in action. I want us to read this passage again, as it's not a very long one. And we're going to look into this passage, but we're going to split it up into two parts, so it's a little simpler to follow along. Verses 13 to 15, and then verses 16 to 17. And this first part, of course, is a dialogue between Jesus and John the Baptist. Sort of a peculiar conversation, I think. The first time these two have ever talked to each other, so it must be important. The second part being verses 16 to 17, which we'll read a little bit later. It has this great imagery, which we just saw, of the heaven, of heaven opening up, a dove coming down. It's a great thing to look into. But first, let's read 13 to 15 once again. That's Matthew 3, 13 to 15, and you'll be behind me as well. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. Now Jesus comes into the story here and immediately displays that he must be baptized by John. John's response, I think, is pretty logical, as many responses in the Bible are. John is going to baptize the Messiah. He says he needs to be baptized by Jesus. Jesus says that it must be done to fulfill all righteousness. Sort of a strange conversation. I think we can act like John sometimes here, where, you see, John was a man who, as we saw earlier in chapter 3, he didn't need the approval of men, but he just wanted to follow the will of God. He obeyed God in everything. And yet we see here, it says, John says, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" I think we can often question God's plan on our lives or even a small event in our life. Almost like John questioning Jesus. Of course, John prepared the way for Jesus. And it can sometimes feel like God doesn't know what he is doing in our lives. Anyone relate to that? You're going along this path and sometimes you think, "God, do you really know what you're doing?" As I said this morning, I believe it's normal to doubt. And if you haven't written on those pieces of paper, I encourage you to do so. And you can give it to me afterwards if you'd like. But I think what we need to remember about doubt is that God is in control, not just in control of certain events in our life, but in control of life itself. Meaning he has control of everything. This term "fulfill" that we see here in Matthew 3, verse 15, it's a pattern throughout Matthew so far, and especially in the birth story that we read in our second sermon in this series. We saw how Jesus is born, where he was born, and other things that fulfilled all of these prophecies. Now, even the baptism of Jesus, done by John, is to fulfill all righteousness. That's what Jesus says. Jesus is expressing obedience through the act of baptism. Now, before we go on to this text, I think Matthew's trying to tell us something here. Who is Jesus? Sometimes it's tempting to put Jesus into a group of things in our life. Maybe that group are things that you only talk about on a Sunday. Maybe you only mention his name on a Sunday or hear about him on a Sunday. Maybe you are exploring who Jesus is, and that's awesome. Welcome. Is he only a great teacher in your life, perhaps? Is he a person that just did some good works, said some good things? Who is Jesus? If you were with us for the first sermon in this series, we saw right away Matthew 1:1. Matthew says this is about Jesus, the Messiah. That's what Matthew is trying to prove throughout this book. He's not trying to prove that Jesus was a great teacher or even a great prophet or even just a good guy. He's trying to prove that Jesus is actually the Messiah, and not just the Messiah for the disciples or the Messiah for the people of that day, Messiah for us. Many people came to be baptized by John, as we saw earlier in Matthew 3. People from all different backgrounds. He was quite a famous person, sort of a rock star. You can call him that. All of these people are hearing the message of the coming Messiah, preparing the way for Jesus. One more powerful than John. And then Jesus comes onto the scene and not only takes part as a regular person, but then declares that John must baptize him. This isn't the typical view of a Messiah, and yet Jesus does this. There is a sense here, I believe, that John the Baptist is saying, "No, Jesus, I need your ministry, not mine. I need to be baptized by you." John is making the claim that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. John, the powerful, charismatic man who spoke in boldness and wasn't afraid to say anything from God, is surrendering his ministry for the one he was preparing the way for. This is a good posture for us even here today. Now, at this point in the story, it may seem a little strange. Jesus comes in as a regular guy wanting to be baptized. John recognizes him as the Messiah and then says that John will baptize him. Isn't this supposed to be Emmanuel, God with us? Nothing out of the ordinary here. Fully God, fully man, nothing special seems to be happening. There are no trumpets or angels, something we might expect, or a sword, as I mentioned earlier. But then verses 16 to 17 happen. Let's read on here. Matthew 3, 16 to 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is a three-part sort of supernatural occurrence. Heaven was opened, the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and God's voice coming down, God the Father declaring, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." As soon as Jesus was immersed and then came out of the water, heaven was opened. In previous times in Scripture, whenever heaven was opened, it signified this time where God was revealing something important, something important. Can you imagine the sight? Heaven being opened. The dove, of course, is a familiar image for many of us who have grown up in the church or have been Christians for a while, a symbol of peace, gentleness, and many other things possibly. But what is more important here is the presence of the Spirit of God. This is not to say that Jesus wasn't full of the Spirit, because his very conception was through the Holy Spirit, as we saw in Matthew 1. Then comes my favorite part, of course, here in Matthew. Verse 17, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Isn't this what we want the Father to say to us? "This is my Son, this is my daughter, whom I love. With him, with her, I am well pleased." See, this is not only a declaration that Jesus is indeed the Messiah or the Son of God, but he is also well pleased by the Father. All three of these supernatural occurrences show more to the overall message that Matthew is trying to make. This is Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah. As we finish up here, this short passage in Matthew, I want us to remember that message of Jesus the Messiah, this whole message of the gospel, is not one of religiosity, but one of grace. The baptism of Jesus is such a beautiful picture of the kingdom, because we see how the Messiah humbly says to John, "You must baptize me." And we also see how in that posture of humility, God displays his love on the Son, that beautiful verse in verse 17. There are a couple challenges that could come out of this text for us as a church. One of them, possibly for you today, is to act in obedience like Jesus did. As was mentioned in the beginning of the service, I'll be teaching a class on Wednesday, baptism class in the afternoon. We're not going to go down to the river, as I've heard that might be a bit cold at this point in the year, and I don't think I would even go in. But if you felt some sort of tug on your heart, some sort of thought that won't go away about being baptized, please come talk to me. Please come talk to me. We're having this class on Wednesday, and it's going to be a great time talking about baptism and membership and spiritual gifts. If you can't come to the class, of course, just come. Please talk to me. If you're thinking about baptism and you're only thinking about that because of a pressure around you, I encourage you to take your time. However, if you are feeling pressure from within, this thing that won't escape, come talk to me. Take time to pray. Read this passage here in Matthew and ask what God desires for your life. There's also another challenge here in this text. I think I want to encourage all of us today that the gospel isn't about fulfilling a checklist of things to do like baptism so that we may go to heaven one day. The gospel isn't about any checklist, any form of to-dos. The gospel instead is about being accepted for the broken person that you are. And then because of that, we obey. Maybe you're in this room and are tired of trying to do things in order to be accepted by God. That can be very tiring, I can imagine. Take joy in the fact that you can't do anything to be accepted. Rather, it has all been done on the cross, as if you want to read ahead in the Gospels, even in Matthew. If baptism isn't on your mind, I ask you this question, and it was the question that I asked you a few moments ago. Who is Jesus? Write down in the sermon notes if you haven't yet, or write down on a piece of paper at some point this week. And I'm not asking for the Sunday school answer about who is Jesus. Usually that is, he's the Son of God and he came to die for my sins, which is totally true. Maybe that is personal for you. But I encourage you to look personally into your heart. Who is Jesus in your own life? Is he just someone you hear about on a Sunday? Or is he the Messiah of your life? Is he just the Word, or just a man who's done good works, or just a historical character in the life that we have lived so far? Is he Lord over your life? Write down what Jesus means to you. Who is Jesus in your life? And reflect on that through the week. And reflect on this passage in Matthew chapter 3. This is a short passage, of course, today. Doesn't mean that the impact on it, on you, has to be short. And I pray that it isn't. Next week, we're going to explore the temptations of Jesus. And we have Sandra Helm coming next week to present that. And I'm really excited for that. Let's pray. God, what an amazing passage. What a glimpse into the kingdom and a glimpse into the life that Jesus lived while he was here. Lord, I pray that if something is tugging on our hearts or the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something, Lord, that we may look into that and pray about it, talk to other people about it. Lord, I thank you for your word and what it shows us every single day, not just on a Sunday morning. God, we thank you for your son and what he did so many years ago and what continues to happen through your word and through your church. In Jesus' name, amen.